Hello, and thanks for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is part of our Sunday night summer series entitled Marriage and Family from the Book of Proverbs, presented by Larry Suttle, preaching minister of the 10th and Broad Church of Christ.
Well, how many of you have good memories? What are we studying on Sunday nights? Oh, you cheated. I forgot it was on the screen. Well, it has been a long time. Again, thanks to Ken and to Jeff for filling in for me while we were on vacation. But it is time to finish out the summer with some instruction from the great book of Proverbs on being a good husband. Last time we were together, we talked about the book of Proverbs talking to wives on how to be a good wife. Well, tonight, from the book of Proverbs, how to be a good husband. What does it say? Proverbs 31 is the passage we left with last week, and it's a beautiful description from a mother to a son on the ideal woman. Now, son, here's the ideal woman. Now, you go after that woman. Though she doesn't say it in this passage, you know she's thinking of it. Because it's better to be single than married to a bad woman. And of course, that's true. The book of Proverbs teaches that in other places. I know there is that desire, that very healthy desire on the part of both men and women to be married. And if you get the right partner, of course it is just a little touch of heaven on the earth. But if you do not get that right person, then it can be far less than that. And in many ways, a miserable way to spend your life. So make sure your standards are set high. Hollywood is not the standard. Proverbs 31 is the standard on finding a good woman. But someone may ask the question, well, what about the men? Where's the passage describing the good, virtuous husband or man? Where is that passage? I'm a little offended because here's this almost entire chapter dealing with a virtuous woman. Where's the passage that describes the virtuous man? Well, it's been suggested, of course, that most of the book of Proverbs is addressed to men. If you will read the language, it will use the word man and men a lot. So you have this equation, taking the woman's viewpoint here. Here you have a half a chapter devoted to women and 30 and a half passages devoted to men. So who needs the words more, women or men? You could take that viewpoint. Of course, you also could take the viewpoint that when the book of Proverbs talks about men, it's referring to mankind or humankind. Anyway, I think it's a true statement that men are mentioned and, of course, described in just as elevated of terms as women. Of course, the New Testament description maybe takes care of all of it, that beautiful description of the Christian husband of Ephesians chapter 5. If you had no other passage, that would suffice on the description of what a husband must be. And just to remind you of that great passage in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 25 through 29, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So the idea of sacrificial or agape love, like Christ. My, what a concept. Who gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, Paul wrote, verse 28, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. Well, what do you need more than that? Well, not a great deal. But the advertisement is, we're going to look at being a good husband from the standpoint of the book of Proverbs. So let's go to Proverbs. And I think the best place to start is Proverbs 31. If you are looking at a virtuous wife, you really have to stay in that chapter, because several statements are made that give you a picture of this virtuous woman's husband. And you get an idea. We think the Bible, of course, is an ancient book, and indeed it is. The book of Proverbs goes way back in time. But how advanced it is, especially considering when it was written, what was being said at a contemporary time. Even today, you can go to some countries and see the place of woman being so down the line, and a woman's role being really almost an intolerable role. In Saudi Arabia, this advanced country, we consider an ally in many respects, women can't even drive. Isn't that something? It's hard to believe that there are places still on the earth like that, but of course, indeed, there are. But you consider the book of Proverbs and see the elevated place of womanhood in that great chapter, and the proper perspective on the husband in that home. Let's notice an example of a virtuous husband taken from Proverbs 31. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, I guess we do have it on the screen tonight. Proverbs 31, verse 31, the last statement of this great chapter. Notice what it says. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Well, you say, what does that have to do with being a virtuous husband? Still talking, seems to me, about a wife. Well, it is true that it's talking about a wife, but the point is, of the discussion of a virtuous husband, the virtuous husband allows his wife to excel in her own right. You know, it's said about leadership that small people cannot be good leaders. Small people cannot be good leaders. And the reason for that is they are easily intimidated by someone who is equal to them or surpasses them in some way. So they make sure that those who are around them are inferiors, so they can take the top billing, so they can look better. A leader who is secure accumulates him around himself the person who is talented, a person who has many things going in their favor and who can lead just as well as that person. Well, you see that in the husband and wife relationship. You see in some cases the husband who wants to be the head guy, and to do that, rather than allowing his wife to excel in her own area, he dominates and keeps her down. Doesn't want her to excel. Well, way back in Proverbs, we have the teaching. No, that's not a virtuous husband. The virtuous husband takes pride in the accomplishments of his wife, does everything he can do to see that she progresses and receives praise and acknowledgement for her achievements. I think it's a great statement, one that teaches that a wife, for one thing, needs healthy space, a space of her own, and a strong, secure husband, a virtuous husband, allows that woman to have that space. Does not treat her as an underling, but someone to serve his bidding. No. He delights in her achievements. A virtuous husband allows his wife to develop her gifts. And notice this in the 28th verse of Proverbs 31. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And here's what he says. Here's the praise that he gives to her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. So he praises his wife, both publicly and privately. And it talks about her children doing that. And I would suspect they do that because they have heard their dad do that. Don't you get that idea from that verse? They are accustomed to hearing that kind of praise of their mother. Now, look at it the other way. What if children hear their dad disparage the mother, criticize the mother, bring her down? How is that going to affect their view, not only of their mother, but of women in general? You see men who have a big disregard, sometimes even hatred for women. Where did that begin? Well, it began in the home, most certainly. And so the dad has to lead the way in that home of praising mom as being just not an average wife, but there's no one like you. There is no one like you. You just far surpass any woman I've ever been aware of. You are incredible. Well, that's a virtuous husband. And again, I think the idea is not to take her for granted, but to show appreciation for her. Now, I want to dwell on that just for a moment. There are many languages of love. In fact, there is a book called The Five Love Languages. I believe that's the title of the book. And there are many ways to express love. Sometimes words are the worst way to express love. But that's not to say words are unimportant, of course, but I remember here not long ago hearing Tom Cruise in an interview. I think it was the day before his wife filed for divorce against him, and he was praising his wife and just went on and on and on what a great person she was, and then the very next day she divorced him. So words don't express everything, do they? Words must be affirmed by action. And whatever love language your wife speaks, the virtuous husband speaks that language. He may have to learn that language, just like you have to learn the speaking kind of language. But whatever way a wife receives appreciation and love, the virtuous husband learns that language and uses that language in a frequent and powerful way. So the virtuous man, according to Proverbs, has the ability to appreciate and to praise his wife. And that never gets out of date, does it? And then notice this. We'll look at verse 11 of Proverbs 31. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Speaking of love languages, the virtuous husband or the virtuous man demonstrates his trust for his wife, his confidence in his wife's intelligence, his confidence in his wife's faithfulness, not only sexual faithfulness, but financial faithfulness, in just every way expresses that I trust you in every way. I have full confidence in your abilities to do what needs to be done. I trust you unquestionably. Or to put it another way, a virtuous husband is not jealous of his wife or suspicious of his wife. You run across from time to time wives who say their husbands are controlling. Well, what that means is he lacks, you see, in this area. He wants to have that wife under his thumb and call all the shots and be a macro manager of everything that goes on in the home. That's not a wise husband. It's not even a godly husband, especially a godly husband. A virtuous husband trust his wife. If she is worthy of you marrying her, then she is worthy of your total confidence. Now, of course, that depends on the person earning to a degree that trust and showing by experience that I am trustworthy. That's just basic in any relationship. But the virtuous husband assumes that the wife he covenants to and with is a person to have total confidence in. Well, that's just some examples from the very chapter on the virtuous woman. How to be a virtuous man. I suspect there are other examples that could be given from this chapter. But let me move on from there to some other statements in the book of Proverbs. If you'd go to Proverbs 18, verse 22, is the statement I've used many times in wedding ceremonies. Proverbs 18, 22. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Just another way of saying, I guess, that the husband values his wife highly. But more than that, I think he recognizes that this person, his wife, is a gift from God. They didn't just accidentally meet somewhere. It was the hand of God working in the life of that man. Through the providence of God, he brought these two people together. Again, the inclination is sometimes, because of many reasons, we rush the providence of God, or we cut across and don't wait on God, and then find ourselves in trouble. But God works in all of our lives, and I can't think of an area more important where God needs to work than in choosing that mate. And so we need to realize that if we have a mate who is a worthy mate, my, what a gift from God. How God has blessed me in such a rich way. A similar idea is in Proverbs 19:14. Proverbs 19:14. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Prudent meaning, of course, wise, discreet, careful. So important. Qualities so important in a husband or a wife. But again, this recognition that that person is a gift of God. Well, finally, let me call attention to Proverbs 5, beginning in verse 15, and we'll read through verse 21, because this one is a very important one regarding a virtuous husband, a virtuous man. And it's expressed in a very graphic way. And I like the way it even begins. Proverbs 5:15. Drink water from your own cistern. that just kind of expresses it. Husbands, if you are a virtuous husband, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. You have it very good. So you be content with your wife's love, is the idea. Verse 16, should your springs overflow. Now notice the figurative language that the wise man uses here. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm misreading. It's a question. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares... In other words, there are just some things not done in public, of course. Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. Isn't that a great statement? And so appropriate for today's time when everything, literally everything, is exposed. And things that ought to embarrass or bring shame is just laid out there. You all don't watch these reality shows, do you? Like Bachelor and Bachelorette and all of those kind of shows that so degrade human beings, so degrade the principles of God. Now, you'd be ashamed to admit it if you did now, wouldn't you? Well, I want to caution you. You don't need to be watching such drivel as that. The book of Proverbs expresses so well the idea of a virtuous man cultivating the love of his wife, and even in a sexual way, enjoying her, and never even considering or looking for anyone else. You receive your sexual satisfaction from the wife of your youth. I love that expression also. How you see, and I recognize there are a lot of dumb men out there, but to see guys who suffer so greatly because of extramarital relationships or delving into pornography or whatever it is, losing the confidence of the wife of their youth, they just heap upon themselves trouble upon trouble upon trouble, even financially. I don't know how some guys pay their alimony. I don't know how some guys pay their child support. They are so reckless and so blatant in their disregard of statements like this from the wise man. They just ignore divine wisdom altogether. But don't be looking for satisfaction elsewhere, whether it is just looking on television or the movie screen or in other ways, the computer screen with pornography, or whether it is with an actual person. Don't even seek it. I mean, you stay away from those situations that compromise your integrity and that will take away the beauty of your own wife. You just stay away from those situations. I know myself, going through the television channels, Nikki banishes me to the living room and she watches her own television set because she says she just can't tolerate me being in control of the remote. She's a hard woman to live with, I tell you. She is the wife of my youth, but she can be awfully hard. But anyway, but sometimes I scroll through there and I think, you know, I don't need to see that. Now, I'm at least 45 years old, and I don't need to see that, let alone, and I'm a good deal older than that, by the way, but I don't need to see it. I can just imagine what teenagers need to see, or 20s, or 30s, or 40s. They don't need to see that. So just stay away from it. Stay away from it. And enjoy your wife. Everything you need is right there in that beautiful woman that is your wife. See the beauty. I think maybe the whole point of this lesson is, from Proverbs, see the beauty of God's gift to you. He crafted a person and gave her to you. Custom made. For you. She is just right for you. And so a virtuous husband, enjoy God's gift to you. Live joyfully and live guilt-free. That's what I was talking about earlier, about some men who just compound the problems of their life. How much more they would enjoy life if they didn't have the burdens they carry because of their looking elsewhere, always on the hunt, so to speak. Live joyfully and guilt-free lives. And I will tell you this, the joy increases with age. It really does. The love is deep and sublime, And Nikki and I celebrate our 45th anniversary soon, and it's never been better for me. I don't know about her, but it's never been better for me. I'm glad she's my wife. I really am. Even though she's a hard woman. Well, I think there's so many things from the book of Proverbs that we can learn from. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at families. Inspired advice, not from me, but inspired advice from a biblical writer on providing for families, rearing children. What does the Bible say? The Bible is the standard in every way. We honor God's Word, and we profit from the direction of God's Word, even in a study like this, don't we? Very practical are the words of God. Well, thank you for coming tonight, and I'll turn it back to Brother Elmer.